Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You saw that little, or heard that little promotion for Santa. And in fact, Santa Claus will be visiting the show on Friday for the whole 90 minutes. And if you have a youngster or a grandchild or just a neighbor kid, who I highly encourage you to have them call the show and talk directly to Santa about what they would like for Christmas and ask Santa any questions that they might have as well. We're turning our attention now to resources for people who are blind or visually impaired. You know, every 7 minutes, I'm told, someone in the U.S. will become blind or visually impaired. And we'll spend the rest of our time together today talking about the resources and the advocacy work offered by the Wisconsin Council for the Blind and Visually Impaired. And our guest is Denise Jess. Denise is the executive director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. It's based in Madison. Looking forward to talking with her. And you may have some questions or comments, and I really hope you'll join in. Are you blind or visually impaired, perhaps, or have family members who are? What resources do you use, or maybe resources you wish you had? Maybe what local issues matter most to you? You can join in. Easy to do. Call at 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org, and we'd love to hear from you. Denise Jess, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Larry, thank you so much for the invitation. I'm delighted.
Well, let's first turn to the mission of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. Give us the mission.
Yeah, you bet. So our mission is to empower and promote the dignity of people in Wisconsin who are living with vision loss. And we do that through three primary ways. One is advocacy, which I'm excited to talk with you about today. Another is education, both with folks and their families who are experiencing vision loss, to help kind of put pieces together and fill in information gaps. And also education out to the wider community to help reduce barriers for folks living with vision loss. And then lastly, we provide vision rehabilitation services. And I can talk a little bit more about those, you know, as we go through the time together. Not so much about, quote unquote, fixing the eyes, but really helping folks as they experience greater vision loss to develop very important skills and tools for knowing how to live well when we're experiencing, you know, blindness or significant changes in our vision.
Yeah. How'd you get involved with the council?
I am a person who lives with vision loss. I am blind, which means I still have some functional vision, and I think that's a myth I'd love to clear up right from the get-go. Those of us with blindness may have some functional vision, I think there's often a belief that someone with blindness is just in complete darkness. That may be true. It also may be true that we have some light perception or some vision that is compromised enough where we're not able to drive and where we need print in more accessible formats. Using screen reader technology. It also may mean that we, you know, need other accommodations in order to really live well. And so I came to this work through my life experience. I was a member of our board of directors. Our organization is governed by people with vision loss, which I think really suits us well because we come from that understanding of what it's like to navigate the world as someone with vision loss. And then during my board tenure, I was recruited as executive director. So, yeah, so that's how I find myself in the seat that I'm in now.
I'm glad you're there. What, how many people in Wisconsin have vision loss? Do we have an idea?
We do. Our best estimate using self-reporting tools like the American Community Survey that comes through the U.S. Department of the Census is approximately 109,000. We guess that that is an underreport since it's a self-reporting tool, and that is across the age span. We still see, you know, young children born with vision loss or acquiring vision loss in their early childhood, and as they go through adolescence. That's a smaller number than it has been in the past, you know, due to better prenatal and perinatal care. Our largest number of folks experiencing vision loss are adults, and some folks are working age people who have latent genetic diseases like retinitis pigmentosa or Stargardt's syndrome. And so in the later adolescence and adult years, those genetic disorders move from latency to active disease. And then our very largest population of folks acquiring vision loss are folks age 65 and older. So our elders who are experiencing life-changing vision loss from macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, and glaucoma. And we know that that population, age 65 and older, will increase by 118% by 2050.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And currently in the state, 4.2% of our elders are folks with significant vision loss from those various diseases and injuries, and those of us who are, you know, who are lifers, who've had vision loss since early childhood. And it's not proportional either. So we see higher numbers of women with significant vision loss, and our BIPOC community is significantly more impacted than our white community. And poverty is has huge implications for vision loss as well. So some of our counties in the state with the highest populations are, you know, some of our most rural counties in the state.
Oh, Susan in Fontana, perhaps, or maybe Fountain, has a question for us. Let's go there.
Yeah.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. Hi. Yes, it is Fontana near Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Anyway, my mother is 96. She has macular degeneration and has been legally blind for years. She's now in a nursing home, and the nursing home doesn't seem to have any tools or programs or anything to entertain these people that can't watch TV, that can't do a puzzle,
right,
that can't read a paper. And I'm just wondering, is there a resource that the nursing home could reach out to you to get some ideas on how to help these people?
Yes. Oh, Susan. So first of all, my heart goes out to your mom and you as her family member, because the issues of isolation and loneliness for our older community members with vision loss is profound, and your mom's situation really speaks to it. We also know that with the how stretched nursing and care facilities are, that those individual needs are not often being addressed. So a couple places I'd love to encourage you to start is, if you have not already, reaching out to the Office for the Blind and Visually Impaired. They are part of the Department of Health Services. I can give you that phone number as well. And what they can do is come to the residence, so in this case, your mom's nursing home, work with her to, you know, look at what are the things that she's interested in. And it sounds like, you know, leisure activities would be really one of them. Teach her some particular skills that would support that, and then, you know, help look at how to integrate into the community. So, you know, if she loves playing cards, for example, you know, there are large print and braille playing cards, which we have available in our Sharper Vision store, And that's, you can go online and check out the things that we have. But really meeting with that rehab specialist, I think, is an excellent first start. One of the things on my dream list is to write a guide for nursing home and care facilities about how to really create space that is welcoming for people with vision loss, and also to create activities that are welcoming, because your mom's situation is not, sadly, not unique. Mm-hmm. So let me give you that office, the number for the Office of the Blind and Visually Impaired. It's 888-879-0017.
Okay, so 888-879-0017. Did I get that right? I think I did.
You got it. Yep.
Susan, does that help?
Yes, thank you. I'm just wondering, she's up in Iron County, up in way north Wisconsin. Would December be good for that location? Okay.
Yes, you bet. That's one of the reasons that I gave you the office rather than us, because the office is required under the provision of the Older Americans Older Blind Independent Living Grant that comes from the federal government to provide service to every Wisconsin resident who is visually impaired who requests it. So there will be a vision rehabilitation professional in that area who can meet with your mom.
Susan, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Denise Jess, our guest today, she's a firecracker, and she knows what she's talking about here. And we're taking a look at all of the resources for folks who are blind or visually impaired with her. And she'll be with us right up until 12:30 today. So I hope you stay with us, and I hope you join in. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us with a question or comment to ideas@wpr.org. We'll take a look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Denise. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about the advocacy work of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired with our guest, Denise Jess. Denise is the executive director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, based in Madison. And I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. Maybe you have vision loss. What resources or tools maybe do you recommend to others who might be new to vision loss? What issues matter the most to you in this area? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Denise, let's talk about experiences someone might go through or people go through as they develop vision loss. Can you speak to that?
You bet. So really starting to notice that you are finding everyday activities more challenging. Maybe it just doesn't seem like there's enough light to do things, or that you're fatigued more by doing certain visual tasks, harder to see the TV, harder to read the mail, those sorts of things. So we always highly, highly, highly encourage really good eye health. And I'm so glad that you had an eye care professional on before me. So routine eye health is critical, because eye doctors not only are good at assessing eye conditions, but there's also so much that's learned about our overall health through our eyes. So starting there, but once you have either a diagnosis from your eye care professional, or you're just really noticing significant changes and that you're stopping doing the things that you love, that is really the first sign of reaching out for support, because there are incredibly wonderful skills and tools that are available to those of us who live with vision loss, so that we can still fully access both our work and our family life and our community life. So reaching out to organizations like mine at the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, or in the Milwaukee area, Vision Forward, or the Office for the Blind and Visually Impaired, which I gave that number earlier, to just find out what might be some good next steps. You know, we can work with someone to help them look at capitalizing their, you know, existing functional vision through good lighting, through contrast, through magnification. We can teach access technology skills, so how to really use the power of your iPhone or Android phone or your computer with access technology, so that you can, you know, you can still get on the internet and be able to do things that way, or learning really good orientation and mobility skills, how to use a white cane so you can still get out into the community, or learn techniques for cooking and taking your medication safely and being able to play cards and, you know, interact with friends. All of these things that are make us really well-rounded and happy human beings, we can learn skills that allow us to still do that. So I think sometimes I get really sad, because I think folks wait sometimes too long, and especially our elders will just say, well, you know, I'm older, so I don't see so well anymore. And there's this great window where if you get connected with a vision rehabilitation professional, we can work with you as your vision changes and continually support you in adapting to that, so that you don't have to experience such a much of the deep depression and isolation and loneliness that can come with vision loss.
Yeah. Ron in Beulah, Michigan has a question or comment. Let's go there. Ron, hello. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to mention, I'm listening to you on my iPhone now, and I've really enjoyed Wisconsin Public Radio since I did get an iPhone about 10 years ago. And the important thing I wanted to mention is I'm totally blind. I have been since I was 2, and I'm 76 now. The most frustrating thing is that most websites are not accessible. Mm-hmm. Using your hearing and you know, the screen reader that's on your phone. So it's very frustrating to figure out how to use anything or to be able to enter information at the right part of the screen.
Yeah,
Wisconsin Public Radio has a great website. But most businesses who I would like to order things from that I found here at Christmas time, you can't figure out how to enter things on the screen, because mm-hmm. they weren't designed for somebody who was blind. And,
exactly.
So it's really frustrating. And most people, you have to order online now from businesses. You can't talk to a person, you know, on the phone.
Yeah.
So if anybody has a business, whether it's a restaurant trying to read a menu or anything like that, if they would try and design or change their website so someone could navigate it by using hearing instead of their eyes.
Ron, I thank you so much for calling, and I'm sure, Denise, you have some comments.
I do. So, Ron, thank you. And I'm so glad that you use an iPhone. I'll just make a note that, you know, that an iPhone has really powerful accessibility tools. And so what Ron is talking about is being able to turn those tools on. And then we're able to hear what others see on their iPhone. So either the controls for hitting the play button for Wisconsin Public Radio on the app or the website, those are all audio commands so then we know, and we have gestures that we use in order to activate them. So just to kind of make that bridge for folks that don't know what that what that sounds like. And Ron is exactly right. There are many websites, particularly in the private sector, have accessibility barriers, and it is one of the advocacy pieces that we are very involved with at the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. So there are website accessibility guidelines, and in the ADA, and those guidelines expect that public sector websites, so government, you know, WPR is a government entity, that there's a high standard for accessibility of those websites. Private businesses have a little bit more leeway because if it, quote unquote, is going to cause hardship for them, then they aren't held to the same standard, which is really unfortunate. So building a website for accessibility so that it's coded correctly, so that our technology will read to us what is on the screen and cue us when we need to, you know, do a command or do some kind of entry, is very, very doable. And there are people who are highly trained to be able to do that work. But when you are creating the website, you have to, as the website owner, say that this is a priority for you and have your website designer build for accessibility, because you can't really tack it on later. It's not an add-on thing. It's far better to do it when you're first building. And I think it's critical because, like Ron said, you know, we as people with vision loss want to use websites. We want to look at a menu for a restaurant. I'll often do that in advance of going to a restaurant because then I'm not in the restaurant trying to navigate the menu at the table. I'll have looked at it ahead of time. I'll have made my choices, and then I'm ready to order because that's so much more easy for me to do. We have purchasing power. We want to buy things for friends and family or ourselves. So when businesses build for accessibility, they actually increase their customer base. So it's kind of a no-brainer in my world to build for accessibility, but it's still severely lacking. Our advocacy work is really geared towards the government sector because it's where we know we can have greater influence, and working with the state of Wisconsin Department of Administration and other state departments, state agencies to create more accessibility of their websites. And I'm excited by some of the both innovation and interest that our state government is showing in creating greater accessibility. And I want to applaud their efforts.
And Ron, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Christy in Cary, Illinois next. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Larry. Excellent show. I'm so glad to hear your guest speaking about such a critical issue. And I just want to make sure that people are aware of the free federal program through the Library of Congress that provides a player and books to come right to your home. It is available for anyone who has trouble accessing regular print or is completely blind. And it's, like I said, it's free wherever you live in this wonderful country. It's probably one of the best things your tax dollars go for. Whether you live in Hawaii, Minnesota, Florida, you can get your talking books delivered right to you at your door. And this is something that nursing home staff really needs education on. I think they also need training. They need better signage for the residents, for the staff, too, so that if they have a resident who has visual impairments or is completely blind, they know that and they're aware of that and they know how to work with that patient. And so I just think that these are critical points that I wanted to share with your listeners and your guests.
Well, Christy, thank you so much for calling. A comment, Denise?
Yeah, I'm so excited, Christy, that you brought up the talking book program. In Wisconsin, you can get connected through that to that program through the Talking Book Library, and need to complete an application that verifies your vision loss. And, you know, someone from an agency like ours or your eye care professional can complete that. And then you do. You get a player. The player is built accessibly so that there's a lot of tactile controls on it. So you feel what to do. And then in addition, you are using things can hold on just a second.
Mm-hmm.
I hear my phone squawking at me. There we go. That you can... you can also download the books onto your iPad or, you know, your phone. So it's a wonderful, wonderful program. And I highly, highly recommend folks connected with it.
Yeah. And Christy, thanks again. Alice in Milwaukee may have some confirmation of that as well. Hi, Alice.
Yes, season's greetings. I was going to mention our Wisconsin Talking Book and Braille Library, which is so wonderful. I have the opportunity to talk with people who are blind and visually impaired throughout the United States. And while the program is available throughout the United States, as Christy said, I know that we have a very wonderful Talking Book and Braille Library here in Wisconsin, and much better than some in other states, I can say. And I think the local number for here in Milwaukee is 414-286-3045. There's also a toll-free number for other parts of the state of Wisconsin. It is an absolutely wonderful resource, and all convalescent centers, nursing homes should be totally aware of this program. It's a great step for the listener from Fontana to take for her mother while she's waiting for services from rehab. This can be implemented much more quickly and even more quickly than the Talking Book and Braille Library program. The daughter in Fontana can go to the library or bookstore or Amazon and get some of the audio books that are available. And those can be played by the activities director at the nursing home for a few people or just for one, whatever the case may be. I applaud your guest today, Larry. She's a wonderful spokesperson for the blindness community, and I thank you for having her on. The national organization, the American Council of the Blind, has an absolutely marvelous program as well, Community Calls, and I'm very active in those. There are over 100 each week that are available in a variety of ways through one's Echo Dot and just a number of different ways, free of charge, that those are available. The activities director at the nursing home can sign up at community@acb.org. Again, that's just community@acb.org. And receive Sunday night through Thursday night all the activities that are going on the next day. And then on Friday night, one receives an email with all the activities over the weekend. And it's a whole variety.
A whole variety of things. Alice, thank you.
Awesome, Alice. Yeah, thank you.
Lots of good information there as well. Thank you so much. Bob in Milwaukee will go to you. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how you doing, Larry? Love your show. Always listen to it.
Thank you.
I read magazines and books for ABLE, American Braille and Literacy Enhancement, out of the public library here in Milwaukee. But what I called about was ABSF, American Blind Skiing Foundation, which is headquartered in Chicago, but we do all our skiing up here in Milwaukee at Wilmont and Alpine Valley. And this is an organization that guides. I'm a guide for visually impaired skiers, and we guide skiers that are anywhere from slightly visually someone that might be interested in skiing. We have a website. We can teach you how to ski, and if you're already a skier, we can guide you. We have weekend trips, and we have a Western trip every year out to Colorado. And so there's something that somebody who can enjoy skiing, and the blind skiers just love it.
Well, Bob, thank you for calling. And Denise, you're familiar with that?
I am. There's some really great recreation programs in the state. So we do a partner activity with the Madison Audubon Society annually, Birding by Ear. And we'd love to see more of those programs emerge with other Audubon societies. And it's a great activity that folks that are sighted and people who are blind and visually impaired can do together. Sometimes what happens for those of us with blindness is that our activities become segregated. And so we love opportunities where we can do things with our sighted colleagues and peers and family that where we're all kind of on a level playing field. And so sighted folks really developing their audio skills to identify birds and, you know, us bringing that to the table. So activities like that. There's a great sailing resource out of Sheboygan for folks with vision impairment to be able to sail. Bold also offers leisure activities for folks with vision impairment. And then I also want to mention Fishing Without Borders. And it's a program that is statewide, too, that offers fishing weekends for people with a variety of disabilities. And any of those programs are so critical because physical movement, people with vision loss are often, we're often heavier. We deal with more obesity than some of our sighted peers. We really need recreation and physical activities that are built for accommodation. Tandem bicycling is really fantastic because we can get out and ride with someone that we trust at the helm. But I really want to encourage folks to find ways to be physically active because it's not only good for the body, it's so incredibly important for the spirit.
Yeah, it is indeed. How do people find out more about the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired?
Well, I would love for you to visit our website. There was so many of our advocacy priorities that we didn't get a chance to talk about today, but transportation is so incredibly critical as non-drivers, and we are among the 31% of Wisconsinites that do not drive. So it's a significant number of our citizens that don't drive. So I'd love for you to visit us on the council website at WCBLIND. So wcblind.org, and you can, you know, read our different articles, look at our vision services, sign up for our e-newsletters. If you're particularly interested in public policy advocacy, we have a newsletter for that. We have a more generalized newsletter called On-Site. And then we also have one called News You Can Use, and it's directly geared on tips and strategies for folks living with vision loss. So please visit us there, or we're also on, you know, almost every social media channel, so Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram in particular.
Denise, we'll have to have you back. We have much more we could talk about, but I really appreciate your time today, and we'll be posting, we'll have posted on our website, the various numbers and web addresses. So thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for this great opportunity.
Denise Jess, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, and that organization is based in Madison. Great to have her with us. Just a quick note that our 2023 books for our book club have been selected. The next one, the first book of the year, is How the Word Gets Passed by Clint Smith. It was this year's UW Big Read book. But you can find the list on our webpage, wpr.org/Larry, and I hope you can read along with us. Tomorrow we'll talk about ice fishing, and we'll talk about how the season's shaping up with that, and then what's going on with festivals and other events around the state. Thank you so much for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.